You listen to the Business Eye here in Dublin South FM, and back in the studio you've got James Garzy of Trillium Financial Services. Welcome back, James.
Hey, Parr, glad to be back.
Yeah, yeah, we missed you here in the show.
So, been some time, yeah, been some time, but Bince, you know.
I was going to say a bad penny, you know, but you're a good penny. A good penny always comes back, okay?
Well, I just, you know as well as I do, Parg, you know, I'm sure everyone's seen what's going on with these markets, so they've been keeping me a bit occupied.
You have indeed been very occupied, yeah. So it was...
Fun stuff.
I would say you were in your element at the moment.
Yeah, it's just a lot of probably words people are hearing now. Volatility, you know, things are being volatile. It means markets are moving up and down a lot. Very news driven. So anytime a news event comes out, like, you know, for example, Donald Trump tweets, you know, tariffs on the Chinese. Everyone's getting worried about that. And so, you know, Amazon needs to be paying their fair share of taxes. And next thing you know, markets are diving and then they bounce again and then they come back. So, yeah. It's very, very volatile markets at this moment.
Volatile, but up, as you say, up about 1% on the year so far. So let's say relatively normal service relatively resumed. All right, we're here for a different issue today.
We are.
We're here about pensions and something that's been brought up a lot on the show by people speaking to me and yourself about moving jobs. I mean, we live in a very dynamic workforce at the moment where people move around a lot. And pensions,
yes.
People transferring their pensions or leaving their present job to another job. The one question they ask is, what should they do with their pension? Because it's a foggy area.
Yes.
Now, you would blame the government for that. Would you?
I would plead the fifth, but we're not in the US.
We know what you mean by the fifth.
The right to remain silent. It's just, you know, I don't want to get on the government's or anyone, you know, regulators' radar. But, you know, with the economy picking up and now it's become, because initially, you know, in 2008, 2007, all the way, I'd say, to probably about 13, 14, you know, the economy being down in Ireland, people wouldn't even think of leaving their jobs because it wasn't really any available. So it was really an employer's market.
Mm-hmm.
Where now, you know, there's more jobs being created, the unemployment rate is low. So now it's an employee's market. So a lot of people are saying, you know, maybe a job that I stuck with because there was no other option are now looking around and saying, well, what else is out there? And so they start looking for other jobs. And now they're actually finding some of those other jobs. So it's a good time for employees because they can then negotiate higher wages, they can get, you know, better benefits, and they can find, you know, a better job. So what that happens, as you mentioned, then what happens is someone says, okay, well, I had a pension with this company that I used to work with. Now I'm moving into this new company. What do I do with that old pension? You know, do I leave it there? Do I take it with me to the new company, or do I take it and do something else with it? So the thing is that, you know, you can leave it with the previous company. You can do that. You are limited to whatever you can invest in, or you can move it to the new company as well. And again, you're only limited what you can invest in with them. But, you know, it's like that construction company in England.
We're all over the news. They were called Carillion.
Carillion, yes.
We're the second biggest construction company in England.
So look at what happened with them, yeah. And so now the pension fund is a problem. And now they're going to the UK's National Employment Savings Trust to see if they can get some money, because it looks like the pension fund has blown up because the employer was using some of those funds to pay the day-to-day bills. So,
which is frightening when you think about a large established company like that.
Well, look at here in Ireland, just look at Cleary's.
Cleary's,
yeah.
An absolute dynasty.
Correct.
In this country. Yeah, much like our pillar banks, but same story.
Well, exactly. You think O'Connell Street, you think Cleary's. Well, not anymore, right? Mm-hmm. It's not there anymore. But the thing is that, you know, with Cleary's, you know, from one day to the next. And I'm not saying, you know, with the company you're working with, that could happen. You'd be maybe working with a multinational company, but you never know.
Current climate.
It's an additional risk that you're taking onto your pension.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that what you should be doing there, Parik, is looking to control it yourself.
Right.
And taking it out. And that's where someone like myself, an advisor, can give you proper advice on what options are available to you, what to invest in based on your risk tolerance. I mean, how much risk are you willing to take?
And risk tolerance would be dependent a lot on what age you are and how much money you have in your pension at the time, is it?
Yes, it would be. Like, for example, if you look at like someone in Cleary's, maybe they're 60, 65. Let's say, for example, Cleary's went out. Well, they lost all their pension money. It's not like they can go back onto the job market
No.
and recoup it. Well, they probably could, but it's going to be very difficult to recoup it I'd say not a chance. Mm-hmm. But when you look at it and you think, okay, someone, let's say, was working there, was 18, 20. Well, sure, they'll find a job anywhere, somewhere else, and they got plenty of time. So you're talking about your time horizon. The longer in time that you have, the more time you have, the more you have time to make up in contributions and also to make up with returns.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, okay. Well, let's look at the example of making contributions at an early age. Or
well, let's say you're 30 years away from retirement, right? And you're putting in 500 euros a month into your pension, and you're making, on average, that's why when you were talking earlier about the markets, you think about, you know, you look at the market returns or the fund returns, like, you know, we were talking about our fund, like, you know, we were up 30% last year, 1% this year, and you look at those things and you average them out, and you're going, okay, it's an average, but, you know, at the end of the day, that's how it works. But if you made an average return of 7% and you contributed 500 at 30 years, you'd have a little over 600,000 euros.
Okay, that's for 30 years.
Now, if you go 20, let's just take 10 years off of that, right?
10 years. So 20 years, if you started at 20
same
years.
Same amount, 500 euros a month and 7% per annum. Mm. 260,000.
So there's a difference of 340 grand there.
That is correct.
Due to 10 years of a lag, of not starting it.
And a lot of times young people think, I got plenty of time. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that you don't have to, as you get older, then what you have to do is say, well, if I want to make up that difference, you have to put in higher contributions. So if we say now let's up that to 1,000 a month, that would get you to 520. So you have to double it.
So double your contributions if there's that lag in time to get anywhere near. Like,
yeah, so you'd have to be that lag in time, instead of putting 500, you'd have to put 1,200 euros a month to make that 600, a little over 600,000. So basically, it's more than double. Mm-hmm. 10 years, more than double.
10 years, more than double. Yeah. But okay, let's look at the options for a person moving, because a lot of people come to you about this. So, what options are there? You would say move from your present employer anyway.
Correct, I would. And then
even though there is an option to leave it there, but you reckon move it because you never know.
Correct. And then what happens is the world is your oyster, to say. Is you can choose a large different type of investment. So what I would recommend for someone who is leaving a job is to move it into a personal retirement bond.
Right.
And so
a PRB,
yeah, retirement bond. And so you purchase one of those. And what that does is that takes it out of the current employer. It's a non-taxable event. So basically, let's say you had 50,000 in your pension, right? Mm-hmm. And you move it from your employer's pension, that previous employer pension, into the new PRB, the 50,000 comes across, you pay no tax on that.
Wow.
Okay. And what I find a lot of, as well, Parag, is that a lot of people that, you know, been working in the workforce 20, 30 years, whatever it may be, that they've got pensions all over the place. I used to work at this company, I worked over there, and I talked to someone yesterday who said, I've got 6 different pensions. And I said, well, we need to, you know, put those together and look for suitable investments for
you. So you don't think it's advisable to have a number of pensions, even though that person might think in their own mind, well, when I
I'm
retire...
I'm diversified.
When I really am diversified in pensions. Yes. But they would be thinking, when I retire, I'll be having six different checks coming in a month, no?
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, whether you get 6 and they equal, you know, 500 euros a month, or you get one that's 500 euros.
Yeah, okay,
you know.
Okay.
But I can see your point there, but the thing is that when you invest or you open up a retirement bond, you can invest in funds, you can invest in shares, deposits, property, alternative investments like, you know, green energy, wind farms and solar energy. You can invest in things like that. You get to decide what you want to invest, and you can move it around. Uh-huh. And the same thing is that if you say, okay, well, if I got 6 different pensions in 6 different places, well, you can invest in all of these in the same one pension, and you have all in one go.
So the idea is to give you greater autonomy. But yes, as a regular person, you need good advice.
Correct.
Good financial advice, you know.
That is correct. So, you need good financial advice, and you need advice from someone who is not working for just one company, one
kind of impartial.
Impartial advice, yeah. And so myself, like, I have my own company, and I give my own advice, and I have agencies with pretty much all the companies within Ireland. I have the life companies, and I have pensioners as well. And so I can look and see who's got the best price, who's got for the client, obviously. Mm-hmm. And that works out better for you as a client, because, you know, if we look at it and say, okay, well, if you made 7%, well, what if we drop that down to 6%? What would that do to your return? Mm-hmm. And that's why some people don't look at those fees. And in the new year, this European law came in and says that life companies now have to disclose to their clients what their fees are. And a lot of people don't know what they're paying. They say, I've got it over with Irish Life or with, you know, with whatever company you have. I'm just giving out one name, whatever, you know, Viva, Zurich, whoever you have it with. I don't know what I'm paying. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, is that, you know, those fees are going to them, and that's eroding at your retirement growth.
Okay.
And so that's why here, within a PRB self-administered structure, all the fees are transparent. You know what they are going into them. Mm-hmm. And you can then look at and say, okay, not only which one's going to give me a good return, which is going to give me the lowest fees. And, you know, looking at, you know, the way you invest and the way you diversify, a lot of times people think, well, the higher risk, the higher return. And as we know, that's not always the case. So you do need good advice to someone to tell you, well, hold on, this looks like it's a good, it's good because it's got a good risk profile and you're thinking you're going to get a higher return. But that doesn't always, you know, 1 + 1 = 2 in that particular case.
And as you say, if the guy who's 55 comes to you rather than the guy who's 35, you're gonna come up with a different plan for them or a different
Correct. Advice.
Okay.
Yeah, because you got a longer time, because if you look at, for example, we talked about the market and what the way we see this market right now and this bull run that we had. It's a huge bull run in this market, second largest in the U.S. history anyway. But if you look at, bull runs as a whole and you look at stock market crashes, the stock market, the S&P 500 since inception has averaged somewhere between 7 to 9%. So if you look at, that was the Great Depression, that was, the financial crisis, that was, oil embargoes, that was, all the 9/11, all those things that happened. But yet over a long period of time, you average out. And that's the thing is that, if you have a long time, as you say, the 20-something, you can afford to take on more risk than someone who's, close to retirement, 55, 60 years of age, 65. Then they've got to be, they can't have those massive ups and downs, those as we call volatility, up and down. You want to keep that as narrow as possible. So that way, people have to depend on that income for retirement.
All right. Okay. Okay. And then conclusion. Then I suppose for people, if they want more in-depth advice...
You can go to my website, www.trillium, T-R-I-L-L-I-U-M as in Mary, .ie. Or you can email me, james@trillium.ie. Or you can ring me at 086-073-9902.
Excellent. Okay, James, pleasure to have you in as always.
All right, Parik. And great to be here. And hopefully we're not as long apart as before.
Hopefully not, man.
Hopefully the volatility of this market is
this separation
gone.
Anxiety is too much,
Yeah, that's happening with my hair loss.
Okay. You're listening to Business Eye here on Dublin South FM. On today's show, we have James Garza of Trillium Financial Services. And now we're going to take a break for ads.